BOOKVII Introduction. In the seventh book of the Church history, the great bishop of Alexandria, Dionysius, 1, Jalagen assist us by his own words relating the several affairs of his time in the epistles, which he has left. I will begin with them. Chapter 1 The Wickedness of Decius and Gallus. When Decius had reigned not quite 2 years, 1, he was slain with his children, and Gallus succeeded him. At this time Origen died, being 69 years of age. 2, Dionysius, writing to Hermammon, 3, speaks as follows of Gallus. 4. Gallus neither recognized the wickedness of Decius, nor considered what had destroyed him, but stumbled on the same stone, though it lay before his eyes. For when his reign was prosperous and affairs were proceeding according to his mind, he attacked the holy men who were interceding with God for his peace and welfare. Therefore with them, he persecuted also their prayers in his behalf, so much concerning him. Chapter 1.I The Bishops of Rome in those times. Cornelius, 1, having held the episcopate in the city of Rome about 3 years, was succeeded by Lucius. 2, he died in less than 8 months, and transmitted his office to Stephen. 3, Dionysius wrote to him the first of his letters on baptism. 4, as no small controversy had arisen as to whether those who had turned from any heresy should be purified by baptism. For the ancient custom prevailed in regard to such, that they should receive only the laying on of hands with prayers. 5. Chapter 1.II Cyprian, and the bishops with him, first taught that it was necessary to purify by baptism those converted from heresy. First of all, Cyprian, pastor of the parish of Carthage, 1, maintained that they should not be received, except they had been purified from their error by baptism. But Stephen, considering it unnecessary to add any innovation contrary to the tradition which had been held from the beginning, was very indignant at this. 2. Chapter 1.V The epistles which Dionysius wrote on this subject. Dionysius, therefore, having communicated with him extensively on this question by letter, 1, finally showed him that, since the persecution had abated, 2, the churches everywhere had rejected the novelty of novitas, and were at peace among themselves. He writes as follows. Chapter 5 The Peace Following the Persecution. 1 But know now, my brethren, that all the churches throughout the East and beyond, which formerly were divided, have become united, and all the bishops everywhere are of one mind, and rejoice greatly in the peace, which has come beyond expectation. Thus Demetrianus in Antioch, 1, Theoptistus in Caesarea, Mesibanes in Elia, Marinus in Tyre, Alexander having fallen asleep, 2, Heliodorus and Laodicea, Phelimeters being dead, Helenus in Tarsus, and all the churches of Cilicia, Firmilianus, and all Cappadocia. I have named only the more illustrious bishops, that I may not make my epistle too long and my words too burdensome. 2. And all Syria, and Arabia, to which you send help when needed. 3. And whither you have just written. 4. Mesopotamia, Pontus, Bithynia, and in short all everywhere are rejoicing and glorifying God for the unanimity and brotherly love. Thus far Dionysius. 3. But Stephen, having filled his office 2 years, was succeeded by Xystus. 5. Dionysius wrote him a second epistle on baptism. 6. In which he shows him at the same time the opinion and judgment of Stephen and the other bishops, and speaks in this manner of Stephen. 4. He therefore had written previously concerning Helenus and Firmilianus, and all those in Cilicia and Cappadocia and Galatia and the neighboring nations, saying that he would not commune with them for the same cause, namely, that they rebaptized heretics. But consider the importance of the matter. 5. For truly in the largest synods of the bishops, as I learn, decrees have been passed on this subject, that those coming over from heresies should be instructed, and then should be washed. 7, and cleansed from the filth of the old and impure leaven. And I wrote entreating him concerning all these things. Further on he says. 6. I wrote also, at first in few words, recently in many, to our beloved fellow presbyters, Dionysius 8, and Philemon 9, who formerly had held the same opinion as Stephen, and had written to me on the same matters, so much in regard to the above-mentioned controversy. Chapter 5.I The Heresy of Sabellius. He refers also in the same letter to the heretical teachings of Sabellius, 1, which were in his time becoming prominent, and says. Or concerning the doctrine now agitated in Ptolemais of Pentapolis, which is impious, and marked by great blasphemy against the Almighty God, the Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ, and contains much unbelief respecting his only begotten Son and the firstborn of every creature, the Word which became man, and a want of perception of the Holy Spirit, as there came to me communications from both sides and brethren discussing the matter. I wrote certain letters treating the subject as instructively as, by the help of God, I was able. 2. Of these I sent 3, the copies. Chapter 5.II The Abominable Error of the Heretics The Divine Vision of Dionysius and the Ecclesiastical Canon Which He Received. 1. In the third epistle on baptism, which this same Dionysius wrote to Philemon, 1, the Roman presbyter, he relates the following. but I examined the works and traditions of the heretics, defiling my mind for a little time with their abominable opinions, but receiving this benefit from them, that I refuted them by myself, and detested them all the more. 2. And when a certain brother among the presbyters restrained me, fearing that I should be carried away with the filth of their wickedness, for it would defile my soul, in which also, as I perceived, he spoke the truth, a vision sent from God came and strengthened me. 3. And the word which came to me commanded me, saying distinctly, read everything which thou canst take in hand. 2. For thou art able to correct and prove all, and this has been to thee from the beginning the cause of thy faith. I received the vision as agreeing with the apostolic word, which says to them that are stronger, be skillful money changers. 3. 4. Then after saying some things concerning all the heresies, he adds, I received this rule and ordinance from our blessed Father. 4. Heraclius. 5. For those who came over from heresies, although they had apostatized from the church, or rather had not apostatized, but seemed to meet with them, yet were charged with resorting to some false teacher, when he had expelled them from the church, he did not receive them back, though they entreated for it, until they had publicly reported all things which they had heard from their adversaries, but then he received them without requiring of them another baptism. 6. For they had formerly received the Holy Spirit from him. 5. Again, after treating the question thoroughly, he adds, I have learned also that this 7 is not a novel practice introduced in Africa alone, but that even long ago in the times of the bishops before us this opinion has been adopted in the most populous churches, and in synods of the brethren in Iconium and Synoda. 8. And by many others. To overturn their counsels and throw them into strife and contention, I cannot endure, for it is said. 9. Thou shalt not remove thy neighbor's landmark, which thy fathers have set. 10. 6. His fourth epistle on baptism and was written to Dionysius XII, of Rome, who was then a presbyter, but not long after received the episcopate of that church. It is evident from what is stated of him by Dionysius of Alexandria, that he also was a learned and admirable man. Among other things he writes to him as follows concerning Navitus. Chapter 5.II The Heterodoxy of Navitus. For with good reason do we feel hatred toward Novatian, one, who has sundered the church, and drawn some of the brethren into impiety and blasphemy, and has introduced impious teaching concerning God, and has calumniated our most compassionate Lord Jesus Christ as unmerciful. And besides all this, he rejects the holy baptism, 2, and overturns the faith and confession which precede it, 3, and entirely banishes from them the Holy Ghost, if indeed there was any hope that he would remain, or return to them, 4. Chapter 1.X The Ungodly Baptism of the Heretics. 1. His fifth epistle 1, was written to Sistus, 2, Bishop of Rome. In this, after saying much against the heretics, he relates a certain occurrence of his time as follows. For truly, brother, I'm in need of counsel, and I ask thine judgment concerning a certain matter, which has come to me, fearing that I may be in error. 2. For one of the brethren that assemble, who has long been considered a believer, and who, before my ordination, and I think before the appointment of the blessed Heraclius, 3, was a member of the congregation, was present with those who were recently baptized, and when he heard the questions and answers, 4, he came to me weeping, and bewailing himself, and falling at my feet he acknowledged and protested, that the baptism with which he had been baptized among the heretics was not of this character, nor in any respect like this, because it was full of impiety and blasphemy. 5, 3, and he said, that his soul was now pierced with sorrow, and that he had not confidence to lift his eyes to God, because he had set out from those impious words and deeds. And on this account he besought, that he might receive this most perfect purification, and reception and grace. 4. But I did not dare to do this, and said that his long communion was sufficient for this. For I should not dare to renew from the beginning one who had heard the giving of thanks, and joined in repeating the Amen who had stood by the table, and had stretched forth his hands, to receive the blessed food, and who had received it, and partaken for a long while of the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. But I exhorted him to be of good courage, and to approach the partaking of the saints with firm faith and good hope. 5. But he does not cease lamenting, and he shudders to approach the table, and scarcely, though entreated, does he dare to be present at the prayers. 6. 6. Besides these there is also extant another epistle of the same man on baptism, addressed by him, and his parish to Sistus and the church at Rome. In this he considers the question then agitated with an extended argument. And there is extant yet another after these, addressed to Dionysius of Rome. 7. Concerning Lucian. 8. So much with reference to these. Chapter 10 Valerian and the persecution under him. 1. Gallus and the other rulers, 1, having held the government less than 2 years, were overthrown, and Valerian, with his son Gallienus, received the empire. 2. The circumstances which Dionysius relates of him, we may learn from his epistle to Hermammon, 2, in which he gives the following account. And in like manner it is revealed to John, for there was given to him, He says, a mouth speaking great things and blasphemy, and there was given unto him authority and 40 and 2 months 3. It is wonderful that both of these things occurred under Valerian, and it is the more remarkable in this case, when we consider his previous conduct, for he had been mild and friendly toward the men of God, for none of the emperors before him had treated them so kindly and favorably, and not even those who were said openly to be Christians for, received them with such manifest hospitality and friendliness as he did at the beginning of his reign. For his entire house was filled with pious persons, and was a church of God. 4. But the teacher and ruler of the synagogue of the Magi from Egypt 5, persuaded him to change his course, urging him to slay and persecute pure and holy men 6, because they opposed and hindered the corrupt and abominable incantations. For there are, and there were men who, being present and being seen, though they only breathed and spoke, were able to scatter the counsels of the sinful demons. And he induced him to practice initiations and abominable sorceries, and to offer unacceptable sacrifices, to slay innumerable children, and to sacrifice the offspring of unhappy fathers, to divide the bowels of newborn babes, and to mutilate and cut to pieces the creatures of God, as if by such practices they could attain happiness. 5. He adds to this the following: splendid indeed were the thank offerings which Macrinus brought them. 7. For the empire which was the object of his hopes. He is said to have been formerly the emperor's general finance ministry, yet he did nothing praiseworthy, or of general benefit. 9. But fell under the prophetic saying, 6. Woe unto those who prophesy from their own heart, and do not consider the general good. 10. For he did not perceive the general providence, nor did he look for the judgment of him who is before all, and through all, and over all. Wherefore he became an enemy of his Catholic 11, church, and alienated and estranged himself from the compassion of God, and fled as far as possible from his salvation. In this he showed the truth of his own name. 12. 7. And again, farther on he says, for Valerian, being instigated to such acts by this man, was given over to insults and reproaches, according to what was said by Isaiah: they have chosen their own ways and their abominations in which their soul delighted. I also will choose their delusions, and will render unto them their sins. 13. 8. But this man 14, madly desired the kingdom, though unworthy of it, and being unable to put the royal garment on his crippled body, set forward as two sons, to bear their father's sins. 15. For concerning them the declaration which God spoke was plain, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. 16. 9. For heaping on the heads of his sons his own evil desires, in which he had met with success. 17. He wiped off upon them his own wickedness and hatred toward God. Dionysius relates these things concerning Valerian. Chapter 10. The events which happened at this time to Dionysius and those in Egypt. 1. But as regards the persecution which prevailed so fiercely in his reign, and the sufferings which Dionysius with others endured on account of piety toward the God of the universe, his own words shall show, which he wrote in answer to Germanus, 1, a contemporary bishop who was endeavoring to slander him. His statement is as follows. 2. Truly I'm in danger of falling into great folly and stupidity through being forced to relate the wonderful providence of God toward us. But since it is said too, that it is good to keep close the secret of a king, but it is honorable to reveal the works of God. 3. I will join issue with the violence of Germanus. 3. I went not alone to Emilianus. 4. But my fellow presbyter, Maximus. 5. And the deacons Faustus. 6. Eusebius. 7. And Charaman. 8. And the brother who was present from Rome, went with me. 4. But Emilianus did not at first say to me, hold no assemblies, for this was superfluous to him, and the last thing to one who was seeking to accomplish the first, for he was not concerned about our assembling, but that we ourselves should not be Christians. And he commanded me to give this up, supposing, if I turned from it, the others also would follow me. 5. But I answered him, neither in suitably nor in many words we must obey God, rather than men. 10. And I testified openly, that I worship the one only God, and no other, and that I would not turn from this, nor would I ever cease to be a Christian. Thereupon he commanded us to go to a village near the desert, called Sepharo. 11. 6. But listen to the very words which were spoken on both sides, as they were recorded. Dionysius, Faustus, Maximus, Marcellus, 12, and Charaman being arraigned, Emilianus the prefect said, I have reasoned verbally with you concerning the clemency which our rulers have shown to you. 7. For they have given you the opportunity to save yourselves, if you will turn to that which is according to nature, and worship the gods that preserve their empire, and forget those that are contrary to nature. 13. What then do you say to this? For I do not think that you will be ungrateful for their kindness, since they would turn you to a better course. 8. Dionysius replied, not all people worship all gods, but each one those whom he approves. We therefore reverence and worship the one God, the maker of all, who hath given the empire to the divinely favored, and August Valerian and Galenus, and we pray to him continually for their empire, that it may remain unshaken. 9. Emilianus, the prefect, said to them, but who forbids you to worship him, if he is of God, together with those who are gods by nature? For ye have been commanded to reverence the gods, and the gods whom all know. Dionysius answered, We worship no other. 10. Emilianus, the prefect, said to them, I see that ye are at once ungrateful, and insensible to the kindness of our sovereigns. Wherefore ye shall not remain in this city, but ye shall be sent into the regions of Libya, to a place called Sepho. For I have chosen this place at the command of our sovereigns, and it shall by no means be permitted you or any others, either to hold assemblies, or to enter into the so-called cemeteries. 14:11. But if anyone shall be seen without the place which I have commanded, or be found in any assembly, he will bring peril on himself. For suitable punishment shall not fail. Go, therefore, where ye have been ordered. And he hastened me away, though I was sick, not granting even a day's respite. What opportunity then did I have, either to hold assemblies, or not to hold them? 15:12. Farther on he says, But through the help of the Lord we did not give up the open assembly, but I called together the more diligently those who were in the city, as if I were with them, being, so to speak, 16, absent in body, but present in spirit. 17, but in Sepho a large church gathered with us of the brethren, that followed us from the city, and those that joined us from Egypt, and there got open unto us a door for the word. 18:13. At first we were persecuted and stoned, but afterwards not a few of the heathen forsook the idols, and turned to God. For until this time they had not heard the word, since it was then first sown by us. 14. And as if God had brought us to them for this purpose, when we had performed this ministry he transferred us to another place. For Emilianus, as it appeared, desired to transport us to rougher and more Libyan-like places. 19. So he commanded them to assemble from all quarters in Miletus. 20, and assigned to them different villages throughout the country. But he ordered us to be placed nearer the highway, that we might be seized first. 21, for evidently he arranged and prepared matters, so that whenever he wished to seize us, he could take all of us without difficulty. 15, when I was first ordered to go to Sepho I did not know where the place was, and had scarcely ever heard the name, yet I went readily and cheerfully. But when I was told, that I was to remove to the district of Colothan, 22, those who were present know how I was affected. 16. For here I will accuse myself. At first I was grieved, and greatly disturbed, for, though these places were better known, and more familiar to us, yet the country was said to be destitute of brethren, and of men of character, and to be exposed to the annoyances of travelers and incursions of robbers. 17. But I was comforted, when the brethren reminded me, that it was nearer the city, and that while Sepho afforded us much intercourse with the brethren from Egypt, so that we were able to extend the church more widely, as this place was nearer the city we should enjoy more frequently the sight of those who were truly beloved and most closely related, and dearest to us. For they would come and remain, and special meetings 23, could be held, as in the more remote suburbs. And thus it turned out. After other matters he writes again as follows of the things which happened to him. 18. Germanus indeed boasts of many confessions. He can speak forsooth of many adversities which he himself has endured. But is he able to reckon up as many as we can, of sentences, confiscations, proscriptions, plundering of goods, loss of dignities, contempt of worldly glory, disregard for the flatteries of governors and of counselors, and patient endurance of the threats of opponents, of outcries, of perils and persecutions, and wandering and distress, and all kinds of tribulation, such as came upon me under Decius and Sabinus. 24, and such as continue even now under Emilianus. But where has Germanus been seen? And what account is there of him? 19, but I turn from this great folly into which I'm falling on account of Germanus, and for the same reason I desist from giving to the brethren who know it an account of everything which took place. 20. The same writer also in the epistle to Domitius and Didymus 25, mentions some particulars of the persecution as follows. As our people are many, and unknown to you, it would be superfluous to give their names, but understand that men and women, young and old, maidens and matrons, soldiers and civilians, of every race and age, some by scourging and fire, others by the sword, have conquered and strive, and received their crowns. 21. But in the case of some a very long time was not sufficient to make them appear acceptable to the Lord, as, indeed, it seems also in my own case, that sufficient time has not yet elapsed. Wherefore he has retained me for the time which he knows to be fitting, saying, In an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee. 26. 22. As you have inquired of our affairs and desire us to tell you how we are situated, you have heard fully that when we, that is, myself and Gaius and Faustus and Peter and Paul 27 were led away as prisoners by a centurion and magistrates, with their soldiers and servants, certain persons from Miletus came, and dragged us away by force, as we were unwilling to follow them. 28. 23. But now I and Gaius and Peter are alone, deprived of the other brethren, and shut up in a desert and dry place in Libya, 3 days' journey from Paraetonium. 29. 24. He says farther on the presbyters, 24 Maximus, 30, Dioscorus, 31, Demetrius, and Lucius 32, concealed themselves in the city, and visited the brethren secretly, for Faustinus and Aquila, 33, who are more prominent in the world, are wandering in Egypt. But the deacons, Faustus, Eusebius, and Charaman, 34, have survived those who died in the pestilence. Eusebius is one whom God has strengthened and endowed from the first to fulfill energetically the ministrations for the imprisoned confessors, and to attend to the dangerous task of preparing for burial the bodies of the perfected and blessed martyrs. 25. As I have said before, unto the present time the governor continues to put to death in a cruel manner those who are brought to trial, and he destroys some with tortures, and wastes others away with imprisonment and bonds, and he suffers no one to go near them, and investigates whether anyone does so. Nevertheless God gives relief to the afflicted through the zeal and persistence of the brethren. 26. Thus far Dionysius. But it should be known that Eusebius, whom he calls a deacon, shortly afterward became bishop of the church of Laodicea in Syria. 35, and Maximus, of whom he speaks as being then a presbyter, succeeded Dionysius himself as bishop of Alexandria. 36, but the Faustus who was with him, and who at that time was distinguished for his confession, was preserved until the persecution in our day. 37, when being very old and full of days, he closed his life by martyrdom, being beheaded. But such are the things which happened at that time. 38, to Dionysius. Chapter 10.ii The Martyrs in Caesarea in Palestine. During the above-mentioned persecution under Valerian, three men in Caesarea in Palestine, being conspicuous in their confession of Christ, were adorned with divine martyrdom, becoming food for wild beasts. One of them was called Priscus, another Malchus, and the name of the third was Alexander. 1. They say that these men, who lived in the country, acted at first in a cowardly manner, as if they were careless and thoughtless. For when the opportunity was given to those who longed for the prize with heavenly desire, they treated it lightly, lest they should seize the crown of martyrdom prematurely. But having deliberated on the matter, they hastened to Caesarea, and went before the judge, and met the end we have mentioned. They relate that, besides these, in the same persecution and the same city, a certain woman endured a similar conflict. But it is reported that she belonged to the sect of Marcion. 2. Chapter 10.ii The Peace under Galenus. 1. Shortly after this Valerian was reduced to slavery by the barbarians. 1. And his son having become sole ruler, conducted the government more prudently. He immediately restrained the persecution against us by public proclamations. 2. And directed the bishops to perform in freedom their customary duties, in a rescript 3, which ran as follows. 2. The Emperor Caesar Publius Licinius Galenus, Pius, Felix, Augustus. 4. To Dionysius, Pinnus, Demetrius. 5. And the other bishops. I have ordered the bounty of my gift to be declared through all the world, that they may depart from the places of religious worship. 6. And for this purpose you may use this copy of my rescript, that no one may molest you. And this which you are now enabled lawfully to do, has already for a long time been conceded by me. 7. Therefore Aurelius Serenius, 8, who is the chief administrator of affairs, 9, will observe this ordinance which I have given. 3. I have given this in a translation from the Latin, that it may be more readily understood. Another decree of his is extant addressed to other bishops, permitting them to take possession again of the so-called cemeteries. 10. Chapter 10.iv The bishops that flourished at that time. At that time Sistus I, was still presiding over the Church of Rome, and Demetrinus, 2, successor of Fabius, 3, over the Church of Antioch, and Firmilianus 4, over that of Caesarea in Cappadocia. And besides these, Gregory 5, and his brother Athenodorus, 6, friends of Origen, were presiding over the churches in Pontus and Theotistus 7. Of Caesarea in Palestine having died, Domnus 8, received the episcopate there. He held it but a short time, and Theotechnus, 9, our contemporary, succeeded him. He also was a member of Origen's school. But in Jerusalem, after the death of Mazabanes, 10, Hymenaeus, 11, who has been celebrated among us for a great many years, succeeded to his seat. Chapter 10.v The Martyrdom of Marinus at Caesarea. 1. At this time, when the peace of the churches had been everywhere won, restored, Marinus in Caesarea in Palestine, who was honored for his military deeds, and illustrious by virtue of family and wealth, was beheaded for his testimony to Christ, on the following account. 2. The vine branch 2, is a certain mark of honor among the Romans, and those who obtain it become, they say, centurions. A place being vacated, the order of succession called Marinus to this position. But when he was about to receive the honor, another person came before the tribunal, and claimed that it was not legal, according to the ancient laws, for him to receive the Roman dignity, as he was a Christian, and did not sacrifice to the emperors, but that the office belonged rather to him. 3. Thereupon the judge, whose name was Achatius, 3, being disturbed, first asked what opinion Marinus held, and when he perceived that he continually confessed himself a Christian, he gave him 3 hours for reflection. Or when he came out from the tribunal, Theotechnus, or the bishop there, took him aside, and conversed with him, and taking his hand led him into the church, and standing with him within, in the sanctuary, he raised his cloak a little, and pointed to the sword that hung by his side, and at the same time he placed before him the scripture of the divine gospels, and told him to choose which of the two he wished, and without hesitation he reached forth his right hand, and took the divine scripture. "Hold fast then," says Theotechnus to him, "hold fast to God, and strengthened by him mayest thou obtain what thou hast chosen, and go in peace." 5. Immediately on his return the herald cried out calling him to the tribunal, for the appointed time was already completed, and standing before the tribunal, and manifesting greater zeal for the faith, immediately, as he was led away, and finished his course by death. Chapter 10.VI Story in regard to Asterius. Asterius I, also is commemorated on account of his pious boldness in connection with this affair. He was a Roman of senatorial rank, and in favor with the emperors, and well known to all on account of his noble birth and wealth. Being present at the martyr's death, he took his body away on his shoulder, and arraying him in a splendid and costly garment, prepared him for the grave in a magnificent manner, and gave him fitting burial. 2. The friends of this man, that remain to our day, relate many other facts concerning him. Chapter 10.VII The signs at Panis of the great might of our Savior. Among these is also the following wonder. At Caesarea Philippi, which the Phoenicians call Panis, 1. Springs are shown at the foot of the mountain Panis, out of which the Jordan flows. They say that on a certain feast day, a victim was thrown in, 2. And that through the power of the demon it marvelously disappeared, and that which happened was a famous wonder to those who were present. Asterius was once there, when these things were done, and seeing the multitude astonished at the affair, he pitied their delusion, and looking up to heaven he supplicated the God over all through Christ, that he would rebuke the demon who deceived the people, and bring the men's delusion to an end. And they say, that when he had prayed thus, immediately the sacrifice floated on the surface of the fountain, and thus the miracle departed, and no wonder was ever afterward performed at the place. Chapter 18 The statue which the woman with an issue of blood erected. 1. Since I have mentioned this city I do not think it proper to omit an account which is worthy of record for posterity. For they say, that the woman with an issue of blood, who, as we learn from the sacred gospel, 2. Received from our Savior deliverance from her affliction, came from this place, and that her house is shown in the city, and that remarkable memorials of the kindness of the Savior to her remain there. 2. For there stands upon an elevated stone, by the gates of her house, a brazen image of a woman kneeling, with her hand stretched out, as if she were praying. Opposite this is another upright image of a man, made of the same material, clothed decently in a double cloak, and extending his hand toward the woman. At his feet, beside the statue itself, 3, is a certain strange plant, which climbs up to the hem of the brazen cloak, and is a remedy for all kinds of diseases. 3. They say that this statue is an image of Jesus. It is remained to our day, so that we ourselves also saw it, when we were staying in the city. 4. Nor is it strange, that those of the Gentiles who, of old, were benefited by our Savior, should have done such things, since we have learned also, that the likenesses of his apostles Paul and Peter, and of Christ himself, are preserved in paintings. 4. The ancients being accustomed, as it is likely, according to a habit of the Gentiles, to pay this kind of honor indiscriminately to those regarded by them as deliverers. Chapter 10.IX The Episcopal Chair of James. The Chair of James, who first received the episcopate of the Church at Jerusalem from the Savior himself 1, and the Apostles, and who, as the divine records show, 2, was called the Brother of Christ, has been preserved until now. 3. The brethren who have followed him in succession are exhibiting clearly to all the reverence which both those of old times and those of our own day maintained and do maintain for holy men on account of their piety. So much as to this matter. Chapter 10.X The Festal Epistles of Dionysius, in which he also gives a paschal canon. Dionysius, besides his epistles already mentioned, 1, wrote at that time 2, also his extant festal epistles, 3, in which he uses words of panegyric respecting the Passover feast. He addressed one of these to Flavius, 4, and another to Domitius and Didymus, 5, in which he sets forth a canon of 8 years, 6, maintaining that it is not proper to observe the paschal feast until after the vernal equinox. Besides these he sent another epistle to his fellow presbyters in Alexandria, as well as various others to different persons, while the persecution was still prevailing. 7. Chapter 10.XI The Occurrences at Alexandria. 1. Peace had but just been restored, when he returned to Alexandria I, but a sedition and war broke out again, rendering it impossible, if for him to oversee all the brethren, separated in different places by the insurrection, at the feast of the Passover, as if he were still in exile from Alexandria, he addressed them again by letter 2.